Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How many phone calls do you think the dispatchers at the Marion County Law Enforcement Center take a year? 1,000? 5,000? How about 10,000? The answer is that they take well over 27,000 calls a year. It's National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and it's time to learn more about what they do. Let's go in depth with Martha Dykstra, Teresa Rowland, and Cody Rankin with the Dispatch Office at the Marion County Law Enforcement Center. So this is a special week for dispatchers, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This is National Public Safety Telecommunications Week.
It's a time to recognize what our dispatchers do?
That's correct. The job they do and how they serve not only the public safety departments that we work for, but the citizens of the county as a whole.
And so here in the county, all 911 calls, all calls to the sheriff come through, except for Pella, correct?
That's correct.
And so how many calls is that?
Last year, this office logged 27,620 calls.
27,000 calls?
That's correct.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. And that doesn't include calls of people just calling us asking for phone numbers or wrong numbers. That's actual calls that we have logged and tracked.
So that's not just me calling to see what's happening?
No.
Or somebody calling to say that they're going to do a controlled burn?
Well, that type of call would be count in this count, yes, because that's something that we log, that's something that we track. But again, it's like if people call us with a wrong number, or if they call looking for a different county office, if they basically call at Thanksgiving to say, hey, I burnt my turkey, what can I do? You know, those types of calls are not included in that count.
So do we have an average? Can we quickly calculate an average per day?
I would say we average probably 125 to 175 calls a day. So I guess that averages out to 150 calls a day that dispatch answers. That's not the civil department. That's not the jail. That's just dispatch.
And that requires some action mm-hmm. by you all and by members of the Marion County Sheriff's Office, any of the firefighting groups, any of the emergency crews.
That's correct.
Perhaps road crews.
That's correct. Yep.
How big is the staff?
We have 6 full-time dispatchers, 6 part-time dispatchers. We have 2 on between the hours of 7 a.m. and 1 a.m., 1 on from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m., except for weekends, especially in warm weather or when the weather starts getting warmer and things increase, traffic picks up and what have you, people are more active. And then we try to have 2 on around the clock.
6:36.
And while we're speaking, they're taking calls.
Yes, they are. Calls and radio traffic.
We're en route to the Knoxville Hospital, mileage 130824, 130824.
Okay, so they're writing all this down, logging it down, keeping a database, probably several databases.
Yes, actually we do. We have our call log where we log everything, and then our radio traffic is everything. All of our phone lines, all of our radio traffic is also recorded here in the sheriff's office.
Okay, and what's the recording for?
It's just like an example would be if there's an accident and there's a lawsuit that comes as a result of this accident, the attorneys for the parties involved will ask for the 911 call, the radio traffic, that type of information.
And Teresa, how long have you been a dispatcher?
I will be here 7 years next month.
7 years, you must enjoy it.
Very much so.
What's the best part of the job?
Best part of the job is constant change. You never know what the next call will be, that it's something new almost daily.
I would guess this is very stressful.
It can be very stressful. You try to remain calm when the situation is in front of you, and you stress after the fact.
Do you take it home with you?
You can't take it home with you. If you have a family at home, you can't take it home with you because it's not fair to them. You leave it at the door, and that's where it stays.
So every tragedy, every dramatic moment that occurs in Marion County over the course of the day probably comes through here, through one of you.
Mostly, pretty much it would, unless it would go to Pella, pretty much it would come to here.
People outside that don't work here don't understand that. We can't understand that.
You can't. Unless you are here and see it and live it, you can't even explain it to make somebody understand it.
And that is what makes hiring so difficult, because try as you may, when you're in the hiring process, interviewing candidates, you try to get that point across, and you just can't. Until you sit in these chairs, no one can tell you, and you can't understand what happens here. You should remember this from the Attica tornado, that morning that you were up here and you saw what happened when an incident of that magnitude, when we get a call like that.
Yeah, just by chance, I was sitting here when those 911 calls came in.
So it makes it very difficult for people who have no law enforcement or emergency response experience, be it fire or EMS, to come into this job, because until you get here, you can't appreciate the job that's done.
Well, and most of us just go through our daily lives hoping that accidents don't happen to us, hoping that all of our friends and family are safe and healthy. And so we don't even think about it, most of us, do we?
No, most people don't. And I just recently attended a training, and at that training, they discussed the fact that the average person will, at some point, call 911 probably twice in their life for a situation.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with dispatchers Martha Dykstra, Teresa Rowland, and Cody Rankin. Well, Cody, now you've been doing this for a couple of years. What do you think about this?
It's not your regular 9-to-5 job. You never know what you're coming into. It's different every day. So that's what really drove me to being a dispatcher. It's not your regular, constant, same thing over and over. It's something different all the time.
What's the range of emotions that you go through over the course of a day?
There's many different ranges. You could be at one point in time very stressed, and at the next point in time you can't be very stressed. It goes high and low just depending on what your calls are.
So tears to laughter?
Yep, pretty much.
In a matter of minutes,
yep.
That can happen.
Yep.
Seconds. Yeah, yep. You can be sitting here having fun, talking about, just life outside of here, laughing about stuff, and you pick up that 911 call and your whole perspective on life can change.
As Martha was saying, sitting here joking, whatever, talking about life outside of here, and the 911 comes in that there is a fatality accident or something's happened with a child or anything. A matter of just a couple months ago, I myself took the 911 call of a personal family member that had passed away. 2 seconds before that, life was fine.
My.
So.
And you took it and you handled it like it was...
I took the 911 and I paged it out and found out that my grandpa hadn't made it. So, and that's part of the job.
And those are probably the most difficult calls to handle, those that the people personally. They are the hardest ones to keep the emotions in check and keep it professional. But everyone here has done that and can do that, or they wouldn't be in this job today.
And so that's part of the training.
Yes. And, it takes time and it takes experience, but you learn how to keep those emotions in check. You have to in order to succeed at this job.
Or you're no help to the other side. If you can't do it, you're no help. If you collapse under the pressure, then it's not going to work like it should. It's not going to go as it should.
The responders out in the field, the fire, the EMS, the law enforcement personnel responding, they have to know that dispatcher sitting in here is going to stay calm and do what needs to be done to do the job. Because, like Teresa said, if you lose it, that just sets the tone for everything and everyone.
Well, and if one of you lose it, I would guess that you feel bad as a team, that you feel you've let your colleagues down.
Yes. You never want to let this team down. It's a team aspect up here. We all work together great. I mean, you come to work, you love the people you work with, and you get along with everybody that works up here. You have to, or else it wouldn't work up here. The things that you do up here, you can help your other coworkers, or they can help you. It's if you need help, they'll help you. If they need help, you help them. It's more of a like, I've got your back, you've got my back type of deal.
Well, a call came in while I was sitting here and we were getting ready. I didn't know what you were all doing, but you were working as a team. Mm-hmm. One of you doing something, the other doing something else.
And you come to learn that as you work with people, you learn who's going to do what, and you almost don't even have to speak sometimes. You know what the other person's going to do. So, and you get that the longer you work together, and like I said, it goes sometimes without speaking of, you know what that other person's going to do and what you need to do, and that's what makes it go. It's what makes it run smooth.
How long does it take a new dispatcher to get up to speed?
That just depends on the individual, actually. It can take anywhere from 2 months to 4 months to 8 months to 12 months. And we like to set a 12-month maximum that basically if they haven't got it by that point in time, they're not going to get it.
Does that happen very often?
No, most generally are the people we have been fortunate enough to hire and train. Most generally within a 3 to 6 month time period, we can tell if they're going to make it. And it makes the trainer's jobs that much easier too.
1024. More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with dispatchers Martha Dykstra, Teresa Rowland, and Cody Rankin. Now, how long have you been dispatching, Martha?
Since March of 1998, and when I got into it, I never thought I would still be here at this point. But it's a job I love, and I can't see myself ever getting out of this type of work.
And so you've seen a lot of dispatchers come and go.
I have. Unfortunately, I have. But this is one of the highest burnout rates, too, because of the stress and the demand placed on the people doing it. It not only affects you while you're here, but as Teresa said, you have to be able to drop it when you walk out that door. But some people find that very difficult. And the ones that don't succeed are the ones that take it home with them. They just never get away from it, and therefore that causes all sorts of issues that they just aren't able to cope with.
Now, what's the shortest length of time that anybody's ever dispatched?
Half a day.
Half a day.
We had one gal that started, and when she left to go to lunch, she looked at us and she said, "This job's not for me. I don't think I'll be back." And that's not a bad thing. You know, granted, half a day's not much, but it saved us a lot of time and effort. And if she was able to determine in those 4 hours it wasn't for her, good for her and good for us.
What part of your job, Teresa, do you think that the public doesn't know that you do, that you would like them to know?
All the paperwork that comes with it. There's more than just answering the phone and dispatching calls on the radio. There we enter warrants and emergency protective orders and missing persons and missing vehicles. And I mean, the list is endless. There's actually all sorts of paperwork that goes along with this job. It's not just answering a phone and telling officers or deputies where they're needed or fire and EMS where they're needed.
You're pretty busy all the time.
Most generally, we try to be.
Cody, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 computer screens that I see within your reach right now. So you have to be able to master a lot of technology.
You have to be able to multitask. Multitask is a big thing. When I first started, I had trouble, I'll admit, multitasking. But doing this job for as long as I have, I've learned to master the talent of multitasking.
It's also knowing computers and databases and yep. And geographic information systems and radio. And, I mean, it's all kinds of technology, isn't it?
Yes. You got to know how to run your 911 computer. It's not just clicking a mouse or typing it in the screen. You got to know how to do it and do it right.
Can you hear people's emotions over the phone? And do you use that? Do you use cues that you hear that aren't necessarily
yeah.
words? How do you do that? Tell us about that.
You can hear the tone in their voice. The biggest example that I can use for that is when we receive calls for reckless drivers. Sometimes on a windy day, obviously, cars might sway just a little bit. And somebody will call and say, oh, I think, you know, somebody might be drunk or they're tired or whatever. And just all nonchalant. And then there's other times you'll receive a call and you can just hear it in their voice that something isn't right. You know, that they, oh my gosh, they've crossed the line, or oh goodness, they about went in the ditch. And you can just, you can hear in the tone of their voice that it's a more serious call. It's not that the wind's blowing or, you know, and so you just, you listen to those cues and the tones and their expression in their voice. So that, I guess, would be the best example that I could use.
Or an incomplete or an abandoned 911 call is another one. When we receive those, our practice is to call those numbers back if we get a number. And a lot of times you can pick up, you know, if someone answers, you can pick up if something's actually going on, a domestic or whatever. And I myself have experienced that where I've had an incomplete or an abandoned 911 call. I've called the number back and something just didn't set right with me. It maybe wasn't what was said, maybe more of what was not said. And so I sent officers or deputies to the scene. And yes, there had been a domestic, and yes, there was an arrest made. And, you know, but you're trained over time and you pick up, you know, these different clues and you become more accustomed to that the more experience you gain and stuff. So, you know, that's another aspect of the job that people don't realize.
So what happens is there's a domestic incident, somebody starts to call 911, the other person stops them, mm-hmm. and so then you call back and they might say, oh, that was a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake.
That's correct. That's correct.
So mm-hmm. that's what you're talking
yep.
about. Does that happen often?
I don't want to say often, but it does happen.
Share your most rewarding day, if you can.
My most rewarding day is probably when I've done the job to the best of my ability. Everyone I've worked with, all the deputies, all the officers, all the fire, and all the EMS personnel I've had to send out that day, go home safe to their families. Those are my most rewarding days.
Any days that didn't go well that you learned from?
Actually, the first time when I was hired, I had actually started on 911s that day, and a call come in of a 3-month-old baby that was not breathing. It did hit me pretty hard, and with the closeness that we have around here, I was able to talk with people, and with us being close as we are, coming here, knowing that I could rely on the people that I work with to get me through that rough time was excellent. So,
when you have to hold on something like that, you have to be second-guessing yourself. Could I have done it faster? Could I have said something better?
You do. You do. You always second-guess yourselves when things come up like that. Always in the back of your mind, you're going to have that question, did I do everything that I needed to do? Did I do it as quick as I could? You're always going to have that on them type of calls. And you learn to talk with people up here and to deal with that, and know how to deal with it later on when it occurs again.
And so this constant examination, this constant reevaluation, looking over what you did and whether it's right and could you have done better, that's part of being a great team. In fact, a team that has received statewide recognition.
Back in 2009, March of 2009, we won the State Telecommunicators of the Year Award. It was all based on the events that had happened the previous year. Back in 2008, the officer involved shooting at that time, the Attica tornado, the accident involving employees here that ultimately cost us the life of one of our friends and coworkers. You know, it's just those experiences that we pulled together as a team and I felt were significant enough. The actions of the people working these chairs at that time were great enough that I felt they deserved that recognition. And so I wrote the letter, nominated the team, and we were fortunate enough to win.
So is the group of dispatchers you have sitting around now as good as that team, better?
Every bit as good, yes. You know, there's a majority of them that were here then are still here now, but there are a few changes, but every bit as good, yes.
Thanks to Martha Dykstra, Teresa Rowland, and Cody Rankin for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.